Hey everyone, look, I'm trying something different today. I get a lot of call-ins. I'm very glad to receive these call-ins and I don't want them to stop. Sometimes they sit around for ages because I am getting round to top and tailing them, recording responses to them and so on. I do enjoy the dialogue. Sometimes it seems to me that call-ins demand a response and I need to spend a bit more time on them. Other times I think they just add something interesting to this discussion and I just want to play them. That's what I've got today. I've got a batch of call-ins today, which I think I'd just like to put out there. So I haven't taken the time to top and tail everything and respond to everything. I'm going to thank everybody for the call-ins at the end, but I just thought they speak for themselves and I'm keen to get them out there and heard so people can respond. I know people aren't only responding to me, they're responding to the call-ins as well. So I thought I'd just get them out there and you can listen to them. No commitment to this being a new format necessarily, as you know. There's not commitment to very many of the experiments that I try on this show, but it's something a little bit different. If you think it's a good idea or a bad idea or some kind of travesty, do please call in, drop me a line, let me know. Thanks very much for listening.
Child out of the cold and listen how the story's told. From fairy tales to happenstance, the dice rule every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while, we're rolling that deep percentile.
Yo, Dave. So I was thinking, the reason I think people tend to not run away in role-playing games is because it's boring. And you sort of touch on that in your episode. You want people to have those yeah moments, and those do not come if you're running away. It's a little bit too much like real life. Like in the real world, we tend to run away from a lot of things. So in RPGs, it's nice to be able to hurl yourself into the breach. And you know, devil may care. So I think that's why people don't tend to run away. And as far as the campaign long-term play goes, I think it goes something like, all campaigns are examples of long-term play, but not all long-term play are examples of campaigns. Yeah, so that makes perfect sense to me because I have a distinct definition of what a campaign is, but not everybody else does, I guess. Anyway, peace out.
Hey Dave, it's Rob, also known as Minion. Thank you for your comments on Swords and Wizardry, and also for to Josh for his call-in. This is exactly where I am at this point in my RPG life. So we just stopped my group is adopting Swords and Wizardry complete over first edition AD&D. And yeah, the one saving throw score, that's brilliant. And also using ascending armor class. Other people were saying, you know, that's a heresy, but no. I just want it smooth and I want it fast. And like you, I agree, like you, Dave, I agree with the Lamentations rules on thieves. And looking forward to the new edition of Swords and Wizardry, and it's interesting how that works out. So anyway, cheers.
Hey Dave, Jason here, calling about episode 179, One Book to Rule Them All. Just real quick, answers for, not answers per se, but comments on Josh's call. He makes some great points. As far as domain systems and, you know, to build strongholds, things like that, two systems that are compatible with Swords and Wizardry that do a great job. If you want a complex system, go with Adventure Conquer King system. And if you want a simpler version, go with Lamentations of Flame Princes. Both those do great jobs at it. Your fellow Purple Worm, John Allen Large, has talked about that in Red Dice Diaries in the past. And the other thing I want to mention is Target 20, which shows why Descending Armor Class is not a bad idea and an easy way to use Descending Armor Class. It also is an easy way to use Saving Throws, kind of like the Swords and Wizardry version using Saving Throws. So I recommend people look at Target 20 if they're playing those games. Take care.
Hello, Dave. Well, the adventurer just finished listening to episode 179, One Book to Rule Them All. I'm going to try to not leave a whole bunch of crazy messages again, but Jason did throw down the Palladium Gauntlet, so we'll see how that goes. I would argue it is the worst system out there. Now, of course, all right, let me qualify that. Yes, there are games that are worse than Palladium. However, within, we'll call it mainstream RPGs, Palladium being large enough that everyone know, most gamers of a certain age are well familiar with them, even if they never played them. So yeah, discounting small print run vanity projects that most people have never heard of that are probably much worse than Palladium, I would say it's definitely the worst system out there. However, I would also say that Rifts is probably one of the best one book games ever put together, despite the system. Despite my opinions of the Palladium system, I would argue that Rifts is one of the better all-in-one books out there. In fact, I would argue that Rifts gets worse the more of the expansion material that you bring into play because of the power creep inherent in that game. The core book has everything you need. It's got all the world lore you could really care about, and it gives you just enough about everything so you are not... it gives you enough information to give you a sense of wonder and mystery, but not enough to overwhelm you. And I often found that supplements for Rift would over-explain things in a deeply unsatisfying way, which is often the case when creatives over-explain their stuff. Part of what makes them engaging is the mystery. But anyway, so there's one example. West End Games D6 Star Wars is another example. Now, granted, that's one where I think just culturally, by the time we were playing that role-playing game, everyone was pretty on board with what that world was about, so you didn't need a whole lot of expansion material to play it. I don't know if that's unfair. And I'm a little torn between first edition or second edition. I think the second edition rules for D6 Star Wars were better, even better than the 2.5, that was it, second edition expanded, revised and expanded. I had all of them. I think the second one was the best mechanically, but the first printing was the best aesthetically because they had no art budget. So it was all actual concept art from the movies that you wouldn't have seen anywhere when that was published. And film stills and photographs from on set that, again, are from scenes that never appeared in the movies. So just visually, that book is an amazing resource. Although the 50-pound Space Bantha in the room with the Star Wars D6 game is that no version of D6 Star Wars did Force powers well. I always found them deeply unsatisfying. It was a game where you were supposed to be plucky rebels or smugglers on the Outer Rim, and oh gosh, please don't try and play a Force adept. And the game was very... I don't know if punitive is the right word, but it went out of its way to make it very, very clear that you would not create a character who was on par with, or God forbid, better than the farm boy from Tatooine or anyone else that was seen in the films. They were big into maintaining that, I don't know, is that a hierarchy, a franchise? I don't know what the phrase would be, but yeah, that would be my one complaint, but still a great system and a lot of fun to play. I would also say Fate and Fate Accelerator are excellent one-bookers. There's tons of expansion material for them, and they suffer from the problem that Jason mentioned regarding Savage Worlds, that it kind of needs, it cries out for a setting to go with it. But it's, you know, it's just like GURPS. It's just generic rules. You have to have the game that you want to run in mind, and it is pretty well situated to facilitate whatever you want to play, as long as it's kind of pulpy and high adventure. Okay, finally, the last message. I would argue that 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons basic rule set, that's all you need to play a game of the newest iteration of D&D. If you pick up the expansion set, which is the new incarnation of the starter set, it has everything you need for character creation, leveling up, and both the basic rule set and the newer one, they all have little bestiaries in the back with stats, at least for like the most common of monsters, goblins, wargs, orcs, ogres, the kind of stuff you're going to want to run into at lower level play anyway. The actual player's handbook also has that, so you could play the game just out of the player's handbook without having to buy the monster manual or the DMG. So yeah, there's three different ways to access that: the basic rules, the expanded rules, or just the player's handbook. And it really does have everything you need to play the game in there. Cool. So, obviously, I've really enjoyed this episode.
Dave, Conrad Kinch of Send 3 and Fourpence here. I suppose on the subject of real-world knowledge, the answer is a resounding, it depends. I mean, I suppose I'd take a more, rather than a sort of a totalizing approach where you set everything out, I'd take a approach things from a slightly more Burkean sense, in that I have had games which involved players who had real world knowledge, and those have added immensely to the game. But it would depend on the game and the players and the knowledge. Ultimately, the question I think is, what does it bring you in terms of story? Does it add enjoyment to the game? And if so, have at it. If it's not doing that, perhaps not.
So there you go. You were listening to Joe Richter, Jason Connolly, Menion, Lonely Adventurer, and Conrad Kinch. Cheers for those call-ins. Do like to get them. Thanks very much for listening. Keep well, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact Dave, please leave a message on Anchor, email dpercentile@gmail.com, or find him on Twitter at d_percentile.